Wir stellen euch nun einen außergewöhnlichen Künstler vor. Popo Fan, geboren 1985 in China, ist er nicht nur Filmregisseur und Kritiker, sondern auch ein engagierter LGBT-Aktivist. Seine Karriere begann an der Pekinger Filmakademie, wo er ab 2000 studierte. Seine Filme, oft Kurzfilme und Dokumentationen, wurden auf renommierten Festivals wie dem Beijing Independent Film Festival und dem Beijing Queer Film Festival gezeigt. Ein Schwerpunkt einiger seiner Filme ist der Umgang chinesischer Familien mit queeren Kindern. Doch seine Filme stießen nicht nur auf Beifall, sondern auch auf Zensur. Viele seiner Werke wurden von chinesischen Streaming-Plattformen entfernt oder durften nicht gezeigt werden. Trotz dieser Herausforderungen setzte Popo Fan seine Arbeit fort. Ab 2013 war er Kurator des Beijing Queer Film Festival, dem größten seiner Art in China. 2017 zog es ihn nach Deutschland, wo er seither in Berlin lebt. Hier wurde er Teil des Talentförderprogramms Berlin Talents und saß 2019 in der Jury der Teddy Awards, dem queeren Filmpreis der Berlinale. Popo Fans Engagement und seine Filme sind ein wichtiger Beitrag zur queeren Szene und zum kulturellen Austausch zwischen China und Deutschland. Nun kommt Popo Fan am 4. Mai zur 41. Schwulenfilmwoche Freiburg. Dort wird sein Kurzfilm Wegen Hegel im Rahmen der New German Queer Shorts gezeigt. Popo Fan wird auch Teil einer exklusiven Gesprächsrunde sein, zu der weitere Filmschaffende nach Freiburg kommen. Wir hatten ja bereits das Vergnügen, mit Lukas Merz zu sprechen, einem weiteren Gast dieser Runde. Und nun freuen wir uns, Popo Fan hier in der Sendung begrüßen zu dürfen. Das folgende Gespräch werden wir auf Englisch führen. Welcome to the show, Popo Fan!
Thank you. Tut mir leid, mein Deutsch ist doch nicht so gut.
No worries.
Eigentlich scheiße, so English. But no. I guess most of people can understand it and thanks for accepting using English as language.
No worries, you're welcome. And first of all, we are glad that it worked out. And a fun fact first, we are curious if it's true that we owe your film studies to the fact that no mathematics has to be learned.
Oh my gosh, so yeah, this is true. This is a very, very cold fact. In China, the national exam that you have to be good at everything, but actually, how much mathematics we use for, you know, art and filmmaking. But of course, now I realize it's a kind of, when I do calculation for my own small budget film, I can still do basic things, and I'm still actually finding myself better than the average of a German.
you have
all, this is kind of stereotype, but real.
You have all our sympathies about this. So, yes, and you, you were already a very successful filmmaker in China, but you often had problems with censorship. Was that the reason for moving to Berlin, or why did you make the move to Germany?
Freedom of speech is definitely one of the reasons, because especially from 2015, after my film Mama Rainbow was censored from online in China, I found there was less and less space for me to really do activities and continue to make films. But by the way, this film, I'm going to show it on May 6th at Freiburg, University of Freiburg. And was in Chinese study department there. So if you want to see Mama Rainbow, there is a chance to. And,
okay.
But another reason at that time was also because I was seeking for more different perspective on creativity. Okay. I have been thinking about making fiction film. I also thought about making films more sex positive. I want to talk about erotic topics, and then and then there was an opportunity come to me that Robert Bosch Stiftung at the time has a program inviting artists from China for project, and the program is called Crossing Borders, and I applied and got it, so that was a move. The first move brought me to Germany. After living a year in Berlin, I started to realize I really like it, so I continue to stay.
Okay, well, that sounds great. But do you know how currently the situation for queer filmmakers in China is now? After you left, was it getting better or even worse? Or
it's really hard to just generalize. It's better or worse, but it's quite complicated. And sometimes, as someone already lived abroad, mostly spent time in Germany for more than 7 years, I'm also confused. Even though I go back recent years, I go back to China every year for the Beijing Queer Film Festival. I'm helping to organize, but my observation every time attending the festival is a great place and almost only window that you for queer cinema in China. Okay. And then there is more and more restriction from the censor, from the authority, but there is also such a big and an amazing strength of resisting from independent filmmakers. And many of them are really young, they're students, some of them study within China, some of them also study abroad, or they are diaspora, they were migrants somewhere else outside of China. So this strengths are still there. And another trend was that there were less and less feature film made, but more short film. You can see every year when we were doing programming, including me myself, the last few years, I was also making short film. I think this is also a phenomenon that one hand, because of the financial challenge, it's difficult to finance and financially support a feature film of the filmmaker themselves with Chinese content. On the other hand, also an influence of the social media is the more trend of making short content, but really very punctual and very very young content. So this is what I see the two of very important phenomena of Chinese queer filmmaking.
I mean, it's great for us that you are here now and that can we see your works here. But is there any chance for people, let's say, back home in China to see your productions?
Yeah. So there are a few platforms that you can stream my films. For example, there is a Chinese independent film platform called the KasiPlay. Okay. So they're based in Singapore, and they serve so far still not banned within China. So that is many people, and they are they're quite queer friendly too. So they have many content of Chinese queer films. And another one is called Gaga Ulala, which is actually one of the co-sponsor of my short film, which I'm going to show in Freiburg this time. And so their niche is Asian queer content. So those platform online space are still available. Well, Gaga Ula, I think within China, you need a VPN because it was blocked by the Great Firewall, so-called. But worldwidely, it is a great platform for people who are curious about Asian queer content to watch. And my personal website is popofan.net. So I also put links to those website on my own personal one. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear. There were the problems with the topic of your films in China, but we also have read that the situation for people from Asia, especially from Eastern Asia here in Germany, isn't easy either. Do you have encountered any racism here? Would you like to tell us a little more about it?
Unfortunately, yes. So I had already a few times, three times, went to the police station. And it's really sad, but this doesn't mean that I also last time when I was at the police station, I was also telling the Polizei that it's not like I believe you can improve the society, but I want to tell you there are those problems and not being seen. And especially, so maybe for me, I still have my privilege that I'm a cis male and also physically quite strong. And so I so far didn't get into any super dangerous experiments, but I have a one of the experiences was with a female friend of mine, and I just got someone just shouting to us and telling us to like fuck off, and we were told that he hates China, he hates Chinese. And then so after that my female friend she said she was afraid to go back to that area, and it was traumatized for her. You know, even for me myself, and I think for that I also had got some mental issues after those encounters. But in the end, I made them into my art, and so I you can see one video of me on. In the media tech of RBB, Berlin Brandenburg Rundfunk, and called Lerner Deutsch in meiner Küche. So I talked about my experiment during the pandemic, cooking at home, and also think about what is virus. And virus on the visible side that people were put into the hospital, but all on the other hand, also virus is a problem plugged into our brain that make us being isolated. This is so sad. And in fact, that a lot of the beautiful communication should be made. So those are the like very visible racism encounter I had. But at the same time, I have also observation that within the queer community there are a lot of ignorance to like for example fetishizing of Asian community, Asian individuals on the personal level, no matter in a romantic relationship or just a random hookup, and there are a lot of stereotype, and sometimes it's really hard to name them. Is that racism? So these are also issues that we often don't see or don't talk. But I have recently published also a new article talking about that. And the book is called Raum Nehmen. It was published by a press house called Wort and Mir. So it's, we just did, I had one article inside of it talking about micro-racism in bed and on fetishizing Asian gay men. So this book is available. We had a book reading in Leipzig of Bursche Messe, and first time I read it in German, and I was very proud that in the end everybody understood my German. And I'm looking forward to the feedback of more people when if they got a chance to see a piece like that and having discussion, which is the most important.
Yeah, so we can put the information about this also on our website, so where you can get it or however. So that means in your position, that's a combination of, I think, everything. It's being a foreigner, being gay during pandemic. Some people blamed Chinese people being responsible for the pandemic, which is nonsense. So I think it seems that this is a combination of all, or...
Yeah, so this is how stereotype and racism was produced, right? Because they're blaming one group of people instead of really see the details of the phenomenon itself. Yeah. And in fact, and the pandemic has so complicated reasons behind, and so far even a lot of things are not published. And even these days, we're also talking about so many of so many of us got sick during the Berlinale because everybody was was coughing in the theater, and it still hasn't learned from the pandemic. And people who were sick, they were not wearing masks. So these are I hope the society can learn from our lessons.
We hope so, and we look in the future, and regardless of that, you are also a very creative a man in Germany, working among others with the Berlinale. You are part of the jury of the Teddy Awards, and you make your own films. How do you see the work of a filmmaker now here in Germany or Europe, especially compared to China?
Recently, I was also talking with my Chinese filmmakers of about the funding cut, which is happening now in Europe. You know, but for them, for a very long time, they didn't have any funding. You know, for Chinese filmmakers, and they are independent filmmakers or independent queer filmmakers. I remember me myself, when I was shooting documentaries, I was just taking overnight train, sitting for 12 hours to another city to shoot, and living in a youth hostel. So that condition was definitely could not compare with what we have in Europe the last few years with feeding by public funding. So sometimes now I identify with as one of the filmmakers in Germany. So you see, they feel that European filmmakers are spoiled in a way. But I think it's not that the funding cut is reasonable, but actually we should value art more everywhere. But unfortunately, now in the opposite, we are all now everywhere. It's become more challengeable for filmmakers and artists nowadays. So I really like the. I can't speak on behalf of all the whole Germany of filmmaking, but I really like the creativity energy here in Berlin. Mm-hmm. But I have a very good a team, and some of them I work with them multiple times. There is big creative energy, and we exchange so much and are very generous to each other, helping each other. So I'm developing my feature film in Hamburg now. So this project also brings me to Hamburg quite often. I go there either for film festival or having meetings with my production company there, my producers. So I become more and more familiar with the industry or the filmmaking circle here. So I enjoy it.
Okay, so this is something we can look forward to. But now you will present in Freiburg a film that's also very impressive, Wegen Hegel. May you tell us something about it without talking too much about the plot, but just a little bit?
I won't spoil you, so you have to go to the cinema. But I can tell you that it is a project on three elements, sex, drug, and philosophy. So no matter who you are, where you are, I believe at least one of them would attract you. And from the title, you can know that it's responding to the philosophy of Hegel. And he opened my window to Germany. When I came here, I want to understand the German society, and reading Hegel's book was my mythology to get into get some more understanding of certain culture, certain issues of German society. And then slowly I feel that I want to make I wrote a short script, but it was beginning with writing a short story of it. Okay. And published in a magazine, and then I adapted myself into a script. And then in the progress, I also consulted some expert on philosophy, and it was really pleasant collaboration also with the University of Heidelberg, because we shot in Heidelberg. so we did some workshops, a series of workshops in Heidelberg, and talking about Asian diaspora community and racism and discrimination. So it's a project beyond filmmaking itself. And I remember when I was preparing for the film, I have been continuously traveled to the region in Baden-Württemberg, and from 2022 until 2000, yeah, my last trip was 2024. Yeah.
Yeah, I already saw the film. I thought I don't, and it's very interesting for me now. It's seldom that you can talk to someone who made a film you already saw. And one question was, was it shot? But you already said it in Heidelberg. I mean, it's just 200 kilometers from Freiburg, but it's at least in more or less in our area. So it was quite interesting for us. And how do you make such a project? It's in the respect of the casting and so on. You told mm-hmm. about a workshop. Was this workshop only about the plot and the theme, or also mm-hmm. about finding people to work with?
Yeah, the workshop we also intended to we did a casting workshop too, and tried to find the student who are amateur but interested in acting, but in the end didn't really work out because I have some specific requirement for the actor. So in the end, we found someone who was the first Chinese student in the drama school in Ernst Busch in Berlin. So he was an actor, and then there was another actor we found from acting school in Ludwigsburg. So with the workshop, on one hand, was directly connected to the film, but on the other hand, also we, for example, we did a script reading workshop and just read the script and giving feedback from the student. And some of them can also talk about their own experience compared with what I wrote in the script. And so I want to make it real. I want to make it authentic. So they also give some contribution. And since the project is also related to Buddhism philosophy, I also learned quite a lot from a professor who is specializing in Buddhism in University of Heidelberg, Michael Reddick. And he gave me also some different interpretation from his perspective. So that was the collaboration with University of Heidelberg.
Okay. And the film takes place during the coronavirus pandemic. But it was filmed later, so it was something like a retrospective, or?
Some of those experiments, I had similar encounters, but some of those I heard from friends of other people. At that time, there was on dating apps, they got a lot of cyber bullying. Toward Asian gay men on dating platforms. So those are quite real. And because I've been showing it for many times, and sometimes after screenings, I also have people who come to me and told me that they have very similar experiments with my character. So it proved that it is real. And but actually the story, I wrote it before the pandemic, and when the pandemic happened, I was like, oh, can I really still make this film? Or which year can I make it? But then one day I just realized, oh, I can just put the element into it. But then, of course, it was such a long progress. Like, I already signed a contract with the production company, 70 steps. I was introduced by a mutual friend who also studied in Ludwigsburg, the Film Academy with Baden-Württemberg. And before I had a trip to Heidelberg, because my trip had been canceled for quite a few times because of the travel restrictions. And only until I remember the summer of 2022, we got to meet each other. I feel almost like a deja vu. But my research during that time to finalize the script was mostly was done by Google Map. And I was just researching, oh, wait, I want one thing to happen in Heidelberg. I got to see the Altbrücke, the old bridge of Heidelberg from Google Map for so many times. And I was also researching, there was a monkey statue on the bridge. Oh. And so all those different things. So when I eventually got there and also meet my producers, so I feel like feel almost like an online dating. And I think they are also really bold that before even meeting me in person, and they trust me and to get on board for this project. And luckily, we got some funding from MFG, the Baden-Württemberg Film Fund. So these are make me feel very appreciated to the local filmmaking community there.
Great. So you made a lot of people now curious about this film. And I mean, you are coming to Freiburg for the 41st Schule Filmwoche for the new German Queer Shorts program. And there all can see this film. What are you particularly looking forward to or curious about? Also interested in exchanging with other filmmakers?
What is really beautiful about filmmaking is that you see the world through another person or a few other people's perspective. And I'm really curious about how other filmmakers see Germany through their lens, through their editing, through their creativity. My project is probably a very alternative one of the representation of Germany, but I think every filmmaker represent their own reality, and so this is quite important that filmmaking to me is still very personal and has to come from your heart. And I know that Freiburg Schule Woche, Film Woche have been running there for such a long time and with a great team. So actually, I still haven't met anyone from the team, but we have the emails. When I look at the email, I realize we had some emails 4 years ago before the pandemic also. And I was amazed that they are so resilient, they are still insist on working for the film festival. So I totally trust their taste and looking forward to see other films.
Yeah, so that sounds great. And if anyone wants more information about you and your work, you already mentioned your website. Can you just repeat it, where people can get information about you?
Popofan.net. And I think my name is probably the most easy to remember. on my website there are a lot of links you can get into, but be aware that this some of the content are not safe for work, so just some trigger warning. But my ongoing project that I'm developing is called Grammatic, It is about learning German and falling in love. And the story is based on my own failure of my own experiments in German language school. So it tells two people. One is a carefree Chinese artist. The other one is a resilient Syrian cook. So when the two of them meet each other, and the Syrian cook helped the Chinese artist to learn German in exchange of learning about the Chinese food, and they want to make fusion food. But when they get to know each other, they fall in love, but the romance comes along with a conflict because of jealousy, expectation. You know, this is a very classic phenomenon nowadays, that we want to be understood, but at the same time, because of cultural barrier, because of misunderstanding, we have problem with each other. So in the end, the relationship didn't work out at that moment because the Syrian cook just ran away. But this was a great opportunity for the Chinese artist to really learn what the freedom means when he struggled about his own freedom in Europe. And at the same time, suffering from not being free from a relationship, when he fall in love, he also find himself jealousy and could not release his emotion. In the end, he could grow up by letting go, because freedom is not about gain; it's more about giving away, giving up. So only when he feel relieved from this relationship, and he meets the Syrian cook again in Sweden. So this is a story of grammatic I'm developing.
Yeah, that sounds very, very great. And we will keep track on this project for sure. And maybe we come back to you when it is the right time to introduce this great film. So, Popofan,
for sure,
thank you for this all. And some people who hear us here will maybe have the chance to meet you when you come to Freiburg. So we are all looking forward to the 41st Schule Filmwoche and to meet you and to see your film.
Wonderful. I look forward to see all of you too, and looking forward to, already looking forward to come back with my film, with my future film to be made in 2026. So I thank you for listening, and thank you for the interview, and have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you. That was Popofan.